She's a business mogul.
Number one.
And wellness expert.
How can I help?
And now Chantel Ray and her amazing guests are here to guide you on your wellness journey.
Time to level up.
Welcome to the Waste Away Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to today's episode, and I'm so excited we have Nerado Zico Pal of ZicoHealth.com, and we are going to be talking about movement and weight loss. We're going to be talking about tips to increase energy. We're going to be talking about metabolic flexibility and what is it and why does it matter, and so much more. And everyone's favorite topic, which is weight loss. So welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here. And we're going to talk about my favorite topics in the world. So,
yes, and you are a master trainer and a master weight management expert. So we love talking about that. So I want you to kind of talk a little bit about what is a day in the life of you look like? So what do you do to keep your body super chiseled and keeping your weight where it is?
Super chiseled. You made me feel so good right now. The interview is over. You just made my day. So my life is in a way regimented. To me, it's just like absolutely normal now. But I practice, I get like time-restricted eating, or some may say intermittent fasting. So as a habit, from my last meal, which is about 6 or 7 o'clock, I don't eat again until about 10 o'clock the next day. So that's my personal window. Everybody's window is different. And because I have to fit in about 4 to 5 meals, depending on my workout routine, I do eat a little bit earlier than some individuals may when they do intermittent fasting. But I do give my body at least a 14-hour break from my last meal to my first meal. My first meal is usually more protein heavy, with maybe some carbs. And I try to go as natural as possible. I'm from the Caribbean, so I may eat some plantains made in avocado oil or something like coconut oil, along with eggs, for example. So it's like a mixture of protein and carbs. For individuals who fast, I always recommend starting off with as natural with more protein heavy as possible. So even if I eat some plantains, and for some people, plantains may sound unhealthy, but you got to remember, you don't want to fry them in vegetable oil. That makes it a whole different ball game when you do that, right? So for me, a small amount of plantains, but just a couple, along with my protein. Usually I keep hydrated throughout the day. So my next meal is, again, usually like a protein heavy meal. Like today I had some wings that I made in the air fryer, right? So high protein that had some celery with it. Throughout the day, I'm not as physically active, so I do keep my carbs as low as possible. And then that next meal, also without this one, I start to increase my carbs because I generally train around 3 or 4 o'clock. So this one, I start to like increase my carbs as I go along. And then I have two more meals usually after I train, right? And then my last meal usually ends at 7. So I usually fit 5 meals. Now, for most people, if you're not a bodybuilder or you're not training to that level, you may only need 3 meals. One thing I forgot to add to is in the mornings, to keep my body in a fast state to burn fat, I always drink black coffee. And I usually wait at least 2 hours because there's research that shows that if you were to drink coffee right when you wake up, it does impede with your circadian rhythm and with the dawn effect. So you want to be careful of waiting a little bit. You don't want to rely on the caffeine, but it can be added into your routine as well.
Did you guys know that 97% of Americans are deficient in at least one mineral? It's true. You need more than a dozen minerals for your body to function at its best, but with the standard American diet, it's almost impossible. So here's where Beam Minerals comes in. Guess what? All you have to do, take one little shot of this one, one little shot of this one, and guess what? It looks like this, but it tastes like water. Take one shot, and boom, in 30 seconds a day, you're getting an entire thing of minerals instead of an entire cabinet of supplement bottles. So with Beam Minerals, we make mineral balance simple. So I want you to kind of talk about how important protein is and why do you think people have such a hard time getting healthy proteins in, and maybe any tips for that?
Definitely. So As you know, as a trainer and a nutrition specialist, I'm always going to say protein is vital. And it's vital for many reasons, for functions of the body, overall health. We have enough research and information now that shows that most people do not get enough protein. Now, protein is essential for many few reasons. One, it helps with the regulation of your blood sugar because it's another barrier, just like fiber, right, to help to keep your blood sugar steady. So that's one of the big reasons. Another reason is because it helps with recovery. If you train, recovery is key. I just interviewed someone on my show, and he talked about many of us do not spend enough time in recovery, which is why we injure ourselves. So protein is key for recovery as well. It is important for strength. And if I don't ingest enough protein, I don't feel strong enough. So that's important for that also. So there are many benefits and health benefits to protein. Also, it keeps you satiated. We've known that for eons now. Like it helps to keep you satiated so you're not as hungry, right? So there are many benefits to getting adequate protein. Now, people in general struggle to get enough protein. For one of the reasons is lack of knowledge. I think that we think, oh, we're going to have renal failure and all these things are going to happen if I start eating protein. Well, like anything else, I always say it's baby steps. So you don't want to go from eating 20 grams of protein a day to eating 200 grams of protein on the one end of the spectrum, which is what we do. Like we have individuals who try keto, for example, and they barely eat protein. The next thing you know, they're in ketosis all the time. They're eating all kinds of stuff, and their body can't handle it. Your body's not ready for that. So it's baby steps. So let's say you eat 3 meals a day, and you usually only eat 20 to 30 grams of protein. Well, overall, well, you want to say, all right, let's start this. Let's start with 20 grams of protein with each meal. So you may have to kind of measure it out. So your body starts to adjust to it. And as your body adjusts to it, and as you strength train, watch how they work together, you're going to get hungrier and hungrier. And as you do so, your body will be able to tolerate the protein better and better. In fact, there's an enzyme called protease, which is used to break down protein. And if you don't eat enough protein over time, your body actually downregulates. It doesn't create enough protease. So as you start eating more protein and your body adjusts to it, guess where the magic happens? It starts to create more protease because it needs those enzymes to break down protein in most healthy individuals. And I have to stress that. Now, if you're someone with kidney issues, or you know, if you're a dietitian or your nutritionist, and I say, hey, this is not good for you for whatever underlying health issue, then you have to consider that. However, start with clean sources. Eggs, especially free-range eggs, are a great source of protein for breakfast, right? Organic meats are great sources of protein. Guess what? When I first started improving my health, almonds and pistachios were my breakfast. Was my breakfast to go? Was that the breakfast of champions to me? Good source of protein, because I wasn't used to eating as much protein at that time, but I started getting it in. So when the only time you need to supplement, which by the way, most supplements out there are crap. They're bad for you. They're bad for your gut. It's just you're completely killing yourself by eating by ingesting those things. But there are times you may need to add in some clean sources of protein as a supplement. Keyword supplement. But you have to start by getting at least 3 or even 4 meals in consistently, increasing the protein as you go. And when you hit a point where you need more, like a lot of athletes and bodybuilders do, then you may look at a clean source of supplement to add in.
Guys, I just want to interrupt for just a second, and I want you to hear Paul Saladino talk about why liver is so important. And if you don't like liver, we have another option for you.
Your ancestors were eating liver. And the reason that this sort of wisdom has been passed down is because liver is very nutritious. It's basically nature's multivitamin. If you look at the nutrients in meat, they're great. You've got zinc, you've got B6, you've got B12, you've got some K2. But if you look at liver, it really complements what's in muscle meat. And there are many unique nutrients found in organs, specifically liver as a powerhouse of these, that are difficult to obtain outside of liver. Like meat and organs are like peanut butter and jelly. They just go together. They're supposed to be eaten together. The easiest way to eat liver is just to do it raw. If you don't want to eat liver raw, you can cook it. But the reason that I like to do it raw is because there are unique nutrients in liver that are probably somewhat degraded when you cook the liver.
This really is like the most nutrient-rich supplements that you can find. And they are amazing. I have tried them. I absolutely love them. So just go to heartandsoil.co, use the coupon code Chantal Ray, and save some money there. I want to back up because of what you said about the time-restricted eating versus intermittent fasting. And time-restricted eating and intermittent fasting are closely related because it's really cycling between periods of eating and not eating, obviously, to help your health. And so, in my opinion, what sets time-restricted eating apart from intermittent fasting, like the key differences is that time-restricted eating specifically calls for eating within a limited number of hours during like the daylight hours. And kind of what you're saying about time restricted is more aimed at aligning your eating within your circadian rhythm. And so like, cause some people would be like, well, intermittent fasting and time restricted eating are exactly the same. The only difference that I would say is that while intermittent fasting includes all intentional fasting patterns, and it doesn't really distinguish between fasting like day or night, I think that when people talk about time-restricted eating, they really talk a lot about kind of whether you're eating, you know, during the day and kind of how it impacts your circadian rhythm. How would you define the difference between those?
100% agree with you. I don't think there's much as I can add to that. I look at time-restricted eating is like eating within a certain specific window. Let me give you an example. I eat my when the sun is out, for example, like this time of year, I might eat a little bit later versus when the sun sets earlier in the year, I tend to eat earlier. So yeah, you're 100% right. I don't really have much to add to that.
Yeah, because a lot of people are like, wait, what's the difference? And really both of them are super like similar. And the only differentiating that I can really see that people talk about is that a lot of the time-restricted eating, they really emphasize on the circadian rhythm and talking about kind of doing a lot of your eating in the daylight hours and fasting during the dark, you know, when it's dark outside, and that really aligns with your circadian rhythm. And doing that helps with your sleep, helps with your body, your blood lipid levels, kind of helps with insulin resistance, and also can stimulate autophagy depending on, you know, when you're eating and when you're fasting. So
100%. And I want to add one quick thing to that. If you think about it, when it gets darker outside and when it gets colder, that's when your body wants to start creating more melatonin, right? It wants to put you into that rest state. And when you're eating in those times, you're sending your body a mixed signal, because when you eat, your body has to raise its core temperature, but you don't, to help you to digest your food. You don't want to raise your core temperature when you're supposed to be creating melatonin. So when you raise your core temperature, that works against your melatonin, which is why it's harder to sleep. So that's why with time-restricted eating, we focus so much on eating within your circadian rhythm when the sun is out, because naturally that's how we're designed.
And if you think about for millions of years before electricity, you know, what happened, you know, people ate when it was light out, right? And then when it was dark out, you can't even see what you're eating. So it kind of makes sense.
100.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about metabolic flexibility. And that is kind of just a huge word right now. Everybody's kind of talking about it. But I think that I'd like you to break it down, first of all, for people to really understand, what does that mean and how do you get your body to be there?
That is the million-dollar question. I apologize. This is my area of expertise here, and I love talking about metabolic flexibility because on my show, I always say it's a weight management show. My certification is I'm a weight management specialist. That's important because it's different than just weight loss. In the past, we've said, I want to lose weight. What would we do? We eat celery and peanut butter and go on some crazy diet. You drop the weight, and then a week or so, you gain it all back again. Or let's look at, how I lost, what is it, 60-pound life or whatever it is, where people lose a bunch of weight, the biggest loser.
And they always gain it back. Always.
Right. And more, right? So, because what happens is our bodies are very intelligent. And when you starve your body's thinking, okay, I'm not getting enough food. There is such a thing as starvation mode, people. I'm sorry. Okay, what anybody tells you, your body gets in locked down into that. And as you start eating normal again, your body's not used to the amount of food you're putting back in, and it doesn't have the ability to break those foods down well, hence why you gain the weight back. So, and it takes time for your body to adjust in between gears like that. It takes a lot of time. That's why when you hit weight loss, when you hit a certain point, it starts to happen fast. Well, when it stops, it stops. And same when you're gaining weight, it's there to a point, it just starts happening. So we have to stop with this whole starvation thing and start looking at making it a lifestyle. Now, this is what metabolic flexibility is different. I'm going to talk about three things biologically. There are three enzymes. There are other enzymes your body uses, but there are three main enzymes. Protease for protein, lipase for fat, and amylase for carbs. Again, there are others, but these are the three you're going to hear about the most. Now, in most healthy individuals, when you eat a certain type of diet, so let's say you eat a high-carb diet, which most humans are born with more amylase anyway. When you eat a high-carb diet, your body will then create the amylase to help your body to break it down. When you eat a high-fat diet, your body will create more lipase to help break it down, just like the example with the protein. If you don't eat enough protein, your body creates less protease. So if you don't eat enough fat, your body creates less mechanism, which is lipase, to break down fat. If you don't eat enough carbs, your body creates less amylase to break down carbs. Where am I going here? What I'm going is, if you keep eating a bunch of carbs but not enough healthy fats, you cannot break down fat well, which means that your body is like one-dimensional. It's like, okay, I can break down carbs. Most of us eat too many carbs anyway, but that's a different conversation. But when you eat fat, even if it's healthy fat, you store it. Your body cannot break it down well. You keep gaining weight. However, metabolic flexibility means that your body has the mechanism. It has enough protease for protein, amylase for carbs, and lipase for fat. Meaning at that time, you're more like a hybrid. Meaning that if you eat something that has carb and fat, guess what? And healthy fats, by the way, remember, I'm not talking about trans fat, I'm talking about healthy fats. When you do that, your body has a mechanism to break it down. That means that you can eat and not guilt-free, you can't eat whatever you want. That would be nonsense. But you can eat and enjoy yourself and feel great because your digestion is working amazing. Now, how to get your digestion there? It takes time. First of all, you have to know where you are. If you are a high carb burner, but you realize that you don't digest fat well, don't avoid fat. Because I've individuals say, I know what my body likes, and it likes a bunch of carbs, so I'm just going to eat a bunch of carbs. That's the biggest mistake you can make. You have to identify. I'm sure you heard this before. But you have to identify like where your body is. If I'm a carb burner, I need to get my body to burn fat. So the simple way of doing it is by start to introduce healthy fats into your diet and slowly start to downregulate how much carbs you eat. And with the carbs, you want to get them to be complex, good, healthy carbs as much as possible. Not simple sugars, but healthy carbs. So you want it's like a dance, because eventually your body's like, oh, they're giving me fat now. Let me start creating more lipase naturally to start breaking down that fat, right? And down regular carb. Just like for the other side of the spectrum. Let's say you came from keto or on those high fat diets, right? And then now you start eating carbs. And guess what? All of a sudden, you don't break down the carbs well. So now you have to slowly down with your fat and start putting the carbs back into your diet. And then as your body adjusts, then you get into that sweet spot. Because it may take 6 months, it may take a year. It is a biological change. It takes a long time. And it's harder to move from carb burner to fat burner than fat burner to carb burner. There is this research that was done, and they realized that individuals who are overweight, most of them, when they're sleeping, when they're at rest, they're still burning carbs. While individuals who are healthy weight, and I'll be careful with that word, right? Because, you know, BMI is a whole nother issue. But those individuals, when they're resting, they burn fat, which is why when I'm not as active, I eat more fat and protein. But when I'm active, especially weightlifting, I increase my carb intake, right? So what you want is that when you're active, you burn carbs. When you're rest and you're calm, you burn fat. But again, it starts with identifying and then starting to make adjustment. This is one product I love, though, called Lumen. Have you ever heard of it? It's called Lumen. That's another fantastic product because you don't have to guess. You blow into it when you wake up and it tells you if you're burning fat or carbs, and it will give you a recommendation to be like how much carbs you eat that day, how much fat you should eat that day. And that helps you. So that takes the guesswork out of it. You can also, of course, work with dietitians and nutritionists who understand metabolic flexibility. But what I'm trying to get across is the goal is to get to the point to where you can burn both as fuel, and that's how you maintain you maintain a healthy body weight or keep the body fat off for the rest of your life.
Did you guys know that your thyroid's main food is iodine? And guess what? Mercury and other toxins gobble up your selenium, and your thyroid glands need selenium to convert iodine to thyroxine. So if you have mercury fillings and with all the toxins and mold, your selenium just gets gobbled up. So here's the bottom line. I take something called Peak Thyroid. It's got iodine, it's got copper, and it's got selenium. Everything you need to get your thyroid back to functioning without medicine. So go to ChantelRayWay.com/upgraded formulas. Use the coupon code ChantelRay to get a huge discount. Yeah, so true. And I think, you know, metabolic flexibility, in your mind, you have to realize when you think metabolic flexibility, that increases your fatty acid oxidation, which is your ability to burn fat. And the more often your body flips that switch from burning carbs to burning fat, the more fat you'll burn, resulting in better body composition, right?
Exactly. Well,
I want to talk a little bit because there is a lot of talk out there about lectins and nightshades. And some people are saying, you know, lectins and nightshades are bad because lectins can really cause digestive issues. They damage the intestinal barrier, and that nightshades can cause a lot of inflammation. And then others say, no, there's no evidence that lectins are bad and that, you know, that's just a diet phase and that people are focusing on the wrong things. So I want you to talk about that a little bit. What is your opinion about lectins and nightshades? And is it, because I know personally, if I eat lectins or if I eat nightshades, because my gut is not in good shape, I feel terrible. So, but while someone else could eat it and they don't feel terrible. So talk about what your opinion on that is.
Now, everybody know this is just my humble opinion. I'm not diagnosing anyone, right? But I'm going to tell you from my years of experience and the individuals that I work with, I do believe there are truths to both sides. Most individuals that come to me for the first time, I have to get them out of that mindset of good or bad. Because I've had individuals say, I heard rice is bad, but I heard this is good. I heard that's bad. I heard that's good. Food is food. If it's clean and if it's healthy, I'm sorry, if it's natural, it's food. No, a few things I would say is bad, like cocaine, cigarettes, you know, too much processed sugar. Is like processed stuff is pretty much bad no matter how you look at it. But, you know, I go to the spectrum and say cocaine, but I was joking. But we know that's bad. I hope you do. But anyway, there are sides to that. It depends on where you are in your journey. You just like metabolic flexibility. First, it's good to get tested. You want to know what you're sensitive to. If you want a doctor explained this, I was on my show very well one time. He said the easiest way, if without getting tested, to know what you're sensitive to is go down to like a carnivore diet. Pretty much, you're removing all plant foods from your diet for a little while, or at least minimizing the plant foods from your diet, right? And then let your gut do its natural thing, because along with fat oxidation, our mitochondria, what the pathway that our mitochondria use to break down fat is a lower inflammation pathway. So a lot of individuals go on a carnivore diet or a keto diet for a while and feel amazing because that's lower inflammation for their body, especially if they're eating a lot of good, healthy, fatty fish, right? But as your body starts to heal, then you start to add in the lower lectin plants into your diet because you need plant foods. There's no way. I have arguments. I've stopped arguing with people about it. Don't tell me that I'm just going to eat animal fat and protein the rest of my life. No, you need plant foods, but it's sometimes you have to eliminate. That there's sometimes I go on a detox and I don't eat any plants and I'll detox my body. Sometimes you need to do that. But as you, let's say a month or two, however long this situation is for you, you start adding in the low lectin foods into your diet. And then after that, you can start adding in slowly but surely the higher lectin foods. But guess what? It comes down to how you prepare them. I grew up in Jamaica. In Jamaica, when it comes to beans, we sprout them, we wash, we pressure cook our beans. It's natural. Rice, we clean, we wash them, we clean them out. So, you know, broccoli, we cook them. We cook it, right? Like, you know, there's certain, it also comes down to your preparation. So once your gut is healed in the healing process or it's healed, you don't have to take it out of your diet necessarily. You just have to change how you prepare it. And also the foods that are on the higher end of the lectin spectrum, maybe you don't eat them as much. I mean, think about that. So the first thing we have to get out of is the good or bad mentality and see where I am in my journey right now. Like in your case, Chantel, like you may need to avoid all nightshades for a while until you get your gut to where it can handle nightshades. And at that point, you may even want to be restrictive. Something else that we tend to miss in this whole lectin conversation is seasons. You're not supposed to eat the same thing all year round. You're supposed to eat seasonally. And something that a doctor said to me that I never picked up, he said, when you eat in your environment, the food that is grown in your environment, the soil, the probiotic buildup of that soil is built for your environment. It's just like even if you were to have honey, honey is very good for you. However, the local honey that you get from bees in your, they get from the hives in your area, is a lot better in protecting you from the pollen in your area versus foreign honey. It's not the same. So the soil in your area is built for you. So California grapes may have vitamin C, but it's not grown in the soil. That's for people in Florida like myself. So that's something you have to add to it. But please, I'm trying to get people away from the good or bad mentality and know that it all comes down to what your needs. And if you can get tested even from the jump, that's even better. But if you cannot get tested, then you can test yourself and work yourself through for most healthy individuals.
I love that you said that, and I couldn't agree more, because I could not imagine my life living on a carnivore diet where literally all I ate was meat for the rest of my life. I don't even know. I would say there's less than 1% of the population that could do that on any long-term basis. But I do agree what you just said is sometimes our gut can be so inflamed and so out of control that bringing yourself to that where you're just doing carnivore for a very short amount of time and then adding some things back in, and what you said about cooking is so powerful. So give us some examples of how you can cook your foods. Give us a few more so that your gut can actually handle eating those foods.
So I'm not gonna lie to you. I am not the expert when it comes to that particular part, because I tend to stay away mostly from high lectin foods. But I would have to say a couple of things. One, organic. Like I had some celery the other day, and in 3 days it went bad, right? Like organic, like you have to eat stuff that's organic. That's just not have to, but you should. Stay away from GMO. That's one of the main things. A couple of things to look at too is ripe foods. Are they ripe on the tree or not? And also, how ripe are they? Like Dr. Gunja will tell you that plants, like a mango, for example, when it's fully ripe, has a higher lectin content than when it's a little greener. So even when I eat plantains, I tend to go for most individuals say they love the ripe plantains, right? But a riper will actually have a higher lectin content. So you want to go for a little bit greener, and the fiber content tends to be better as well. That's something to think of. Again, sprouting is definitely important. Some foods, however, like peanuts, I can't figure a way how to prepare them to remove the lectin content, right? So that's also something to consider. But as far as getting the whole spectrum of this, because there's so much to list, Dr. Gundry's book on lectins is actually absolutely fantastic. Transform My Life. I think it's called The Plant Paradox. That book was it was the first book I read on the topic, and I thought it was nonsense. And as I started following his what I learned from him, completely transformed my life, can transform my gut, my asthma. I can breathe so much better, and I feel amazing athletically. I started performing better. So that would be the perfect book to read if you really want to get deep into learning about lectins and how to prepare your foods.
I don't know about you guys, but I am stressed. And if you're feeling overwhelmed this holiday season, then I get it. With all the family get-togethers, it is just a relentless source of stress. But anyway, there is something that I've got called Stress Guardian. And it's actually made by Bioptimizers, the people who make the magnesium breakthrough, which I love, love, love. But anyway, they are literally made this new product. It has 14 adaptogenic herbs, and it just regulates your stress. I just actually took some right this second, and it's awesome. If you go to stressguardian.com/wasteaway and put in waste away for 10% off your first order, it's stressguardian.com/wasteaway. Go there now. I wanted you to talk about supplements for just a second. And I, you know, obviously, you know, people have gotten so kind of out of control with supplements. And me, I would say I'm one of them. Like, I do take a lot of supplements. Talk a little bit about how people, you know, ideally, right, we would have just the best and highest quality of food. We'd get all of our supplementation from that, but it's very hard to do that with the quality of our food these days. So talk about kind of what supplements, you know, are, do you take, and what do you look out for when you're going, like, this supplement is just crap versus here's a high quality supplement that we really do need.
Perfect. Yeah, I would love to ask that question. Before I do that, I want to say something that I remiss to answer. Every morning, I drink some type of bitter tea. And I want to stress that because that's extremely important for your gut, because bitter is basically like probiotics. So you want, like, if you think about fermented foods, you should have a bitter taste. Think about organic foods, they tend to have a bitter taste. So I drink some stuff that will make a grown man cry. Like, put some hair on your chest, you know, like some serious stuff. I have one of my friends right now, and she's drinking green tea, and she's put some honey in it. I said, no, drink the green tea, just the green tea by itself. Nothing, no honey, no sugar. If you drink organic coffee that's black, you realize you also have a bitter taste, right? So you want to go for bitter as much as you can, because in America, I think we consume like 3 or 4 times more sugar a day than most developed nations, right? So, you know, but you have to, for one, less sugar, because that's also not good for your gut. But also you want to introduce bitter, drink bitter tea. It may not taste great. You may have to plug your nose. You may have to curse a couple of times. But I'm telling you, it's really, really good for your gut. Along with, now I'm talking about supplements, probiotics. You want to take probiotics. That's extremely important. To me, more important than maybe even multivitamins. You want to take probiotics, but there are things to look out for. One, is it third-party tested? 2, are there live culture probiotics? There's a 2 big things you have to look out for. And then 3, with probiotics, because if you keep taking the same probiotics for a very long time, your body essentially, you want to have a diverse gut environment. So eventually you want to switch to another one. But you want to make sure that they are live culture, CFUs, which you will see them as. And then also you want to make sure that they're third-party verified and third-party tested. Because there's so many probiotics right now. And if you can't verify, if you don't spend the money to verify your product, I'm not taking your stuff. I wouldn't even allow you to come on my show and talk about it, because I want to make sure that people are getting what they know, that what you're telling them that they're getting. So probiotics is important. Again, you may want to change it up every few months or so. The next thing I want to talk about is protein. You may have to supplement with protein depending on if you're an athlete, so on and so forth. That's something that I tend to do from time to time. More on the bulking side. You got to be careful though. Especially if a gut is sensitive, you can easily tell. I'm not going to name any specific brands, but you can drink certain things and immediately feel it in your stomach. So you want to go for like a cleaner source. And there are some that are third party as well. So you can look out for that. And, you know, I tend to, whey is very hard on most people, and unless you're a bodybuilder, you don't really need whey. So I try to go more on the plant-based, help the clean plant-based side if I can with that. But that's something to look out for as well. Essential aminos and creatine. Creatine has been around since the devil was a boy. And, you know, it's Arnold took it, people before Arnold took it. If you are an athlete, I think you should be taking protein. There aren't any known side effects. It actually helps with cognition. It helps with performance. It helps with recovery. If somebody puts a gun to my head and say, which supplement you have to take rest of your life, I'm going to say creatine. There's also essential aminos. And there's a brand that I love, and I'm going to mention. It's called the Amino Co. Their products are made originally for NASA astronauts and then refined later on. for us because they said to change the dosage for us. But it has a particular band of essential aminos, not just branch chain, but the essential aminos, along with creatine created by Dr. Robert Wolf, that works together amazing for your body. And with essential aminos, be careful of those sweetened ones. Even the natural artificial flavors, got to look out for that. You want to have one as natural as possible. So, and AminoCo do have those as well. So that's another, those are some of the few that I would say from the jump can be very beneficial for you. But if I had to say probiotics, number one, and then along with the essential aminos and creatine, that's great. And if you need extra on top of that, because you know you're an athlete, then you can also add in some type of protein shake.
All right. Well, I'm going to read you a question from a listener. And if you guys have a question, just email them to questions@chantalrayway.com and we'll answer them on this show. This is a really long question, so I'm just going to kind of take out little pieces of the question. Sanchina Patel in Arlington, Virginia. I want to say thank you. I've listened to your audiobook, One Meal and a Tasting. I've lost over 20 pounds and I now have about 8 to 10 pounds left to lose and I just can't seem to lose them. I do listen to your podcast for motivation. I eat extremely clean. I've been doing a lot of juicing and I know that that has a little bit of fruit, but most of it has a lot of vegetables that I juice. I do have a lot of constipation problems that I've been facing. I've heard you talk about that on your show. And then she basically to sum up the rest of it, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but she basically says that the things that she's struggling with is this last 8 to 10 pounds that she needs to lose that she can't do. And she has a lot of gut issues that she can't seem to get to the bottom of, with a lot of constipation problems. And she's, the only thing she can think of that might be keeping that last 8 to 10 pounds on her is this juicing, but she feels so much better when she does juice because her body has a hard time processing, you know, too much fiber, that the bottom line is she doesn't want to give up the juice because that gives her the nutrients and stuff like that. And she basically, what can she do to lose this last 8 to 10 pounds is the gist of it.
So this one can be very tricky. But it's definitely doable. There's more that I do need to know, so I have to look at this from a general standpoint. But in my experience, I have come across that. So one, do you need to lose the last 8 to 10 pounds? That's the first question I have to ask. Because maybe you don't, right? It depends on if you're talking about muscle or fat. You know, we know how we get into that. But hypothetically, let's just say for argument's sake, you want to lose the remaining weight. The juicing doesn't seem to be the issue. It seems to be a gut issue, and it seems to be a digestive issue. So there are particular type of fibers called oligosaccharides, because I mean, she specifically says she struggled with digesting too much fiber. But, and again, I don't know this, so this is just guesswork here, but oligosaccharides, she may not be ingesting enough of those fibers. And those are fibers that are food for your probiotics. And so they're food for the good bacteria in your gut. Because so when you eat those, it literally transforms your gut environment. Because let's say if you take probiotics, but you don't ingest enough oligosaccharides, they cannot survive because they're not being fed, right? So it is a particular type of prebiotics. And if you Google oligosaccharides, you'll find it. A lot of them are bitter. They're berries, cherries, Jerusalem artichokes, stuff like that. So you may want to look at what's going on in your gut environment, because we know the research. And Chantel, I'm sure you know the research that tells that that they take twins and they will take the bacteria from overweight and regular weight twin. Put it in the mice, and the mice will get overweight or stay based on the bacteria in their gut. So it may really come down to your case, what's going on in your gut, especially if you're having digestive issues. But you may want to add in oligosaccharides into your diet. That's another good way. Something else to think of is how much protein are you eating? I don't know that answer, but that's something to consider, because if you're eating enough protein, that also will help you, and especially healthy fats, that will also help you to get to that next level. Also, in how you start your mornings, black coffee in the morning is an excellent way to keep your body in that fastest state while you're burning fat. So that's something else you can add in. MCT oils as well, and also medium chain triglycerides, add that to your diet, or you can purchase MCTs as well and add those to your diet. And then are you weight training or doing cardio? Because I find that weight training is great for weight management, but towards those last 6-8 pounds or however the case may be, increasing your cardio can get you there, right? So increasing your cardio levels, high intensity interval training. So that's something else you may say, okay, if I'm strength training 4 days a week and I do cardio too, maybe I need to be 3 and 3 now. So without diagnosing, you look at your exact problems, but those are some of the things you can change around, which can make a big difference.
Love it. Well, this has been amazing. Tell listeners where they can find you and where they can follow you.
Your man is everywhere. Mirado Zico Paolo. I'm on YouTube mostly. You can just Google my name. You'll find me. My YouTube is where I interview some fantastic guests, talk about fantastic topics like these that impact your health and so much more. So I'd love it if you subscribe to my YouTube channel. It's called The Matter Over Mind Experience. I'll spend all day trying to explain the meaning behind it, but it is The Matter Over Mind Experience. And just subscribe, leave comments, ask questions, and I'm available for you.
I love it. Well, you guys stay tuned. We've got another episode coming up in just a few. Bye-bye for now.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to today's podcast. If you enjoy the podcast, it would mean the world to us for you to leave a review on iTunes to get this podcast out to others that may have the same questions that you do. And as always, if you have a question that you want answered, email those to questions@chantelrayway.com. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.